The following programming is sponsored by Bloomers Home and Garden Center. The views expressed do not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, or Beasley Media Group.
Welcome to Bloomers in the Garden. I'm Len Schroeder.
And I'm Julio Zamora.
Do you have mushrooms growing in your lawn? Wondering if they're good or bad? Listen in during our first segment and we'll explain.
Honeydew apples and ants. Yes, a listener has ants all over their apple tree. It's not the ants, but the honeydew. We'll explain in our second segment.
Last week, we talked about how to change mop-type hydrangeas pink to blue. The world of hydrangeas are made up of more than just mop-head varieties. Panicles, smooth, all different. We'll tell you all about them in our third segment.
Our spring has been cool and wet. We've been having an easy time when it comes to watering our plants and yards. That is coming to an end, and it may catch you off guard. And as temperatures heat up, your plants may start to wilt. We'll give keys to care for your plants as summer starts to move in during our fourth segment.
In our final segment, we have an update about the firefly glowing in the dark petunia. Our plants have arrived, and we'll share with you the latest information.
So stay tuned. We'll be right back in the garden right after these messages. Bloomers in the Garden is brought to you each week by Bloomers Home and Garden Center. Bloomers is an award-winning garden center just 20 minutes from Philadelphia. Bloomers has been providing expert advice turning brown thumbs green for over 30 years. At Bloomers, we want you to ask us every question. Even if you think it's silly, we share information in a friendly, non-judgmental way that is meant to teach and spread the joy of gardening. Visit Bloomers Home and Garden Center in Washington Township, Gloucester County. For directions, go to bloomers.com, and we'll see you in the garden. Fertilome's Triple Action contains 70% neem oil and 0.25% pyrethrins as a concentrate and ready to spray. It is an insecticide, fungicide, and miticide labeled to use on vegetables, fruits, nuts, herbs, spices, and ornamentals. This organic OMRI-listed product controls a wide variety of insect pests and diseases, including aphids, scale, spider mites, white flies, rust, leaf spot, and powdery mildew. This insecticide is an all-in-one bottle that will cure just about any problem you may run into throughout the year. Fertilome's Triple Action has been helping gardeners across the country for years. Best to apply in late evening and early morning hours. Mix 1 ounce, which is equivalent to 2 tablespoons in a gallon of water. The best part is, Triple Action may be used up to the day of harvest. So, the next time you are visiting your favorite garden center, ask for Fertilome's Triple Action and expect to have the best looking plants in the neighborhood.
You're listening to Bloomers in the Garden Radio. Listen anytime through your favorite podcast provider or see and hear us by subscribing to Bloomers YouTube channel. Bloomers in the Garden Radio is heard in Philadelphia and throughout the whole Delaware Valley every Saturday. First, wake up with us at 6 a.m. on WNWR The Word at 95.3 FM and 1540 AM. Tune in at 8 a.m. to Bloomers in the Garden Radio on Talk 860 WWDB. A rebroadcast of Bloomers in the Garden Radio is played each Saturday evening at 5 p.m. on The Word, 95.3 FM and 1540 AM. On Sunday at 8 a.m., we can be heard throughout the New York tri-state area on Classic Oldies, 1250 AM WMTR. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you in the garden. Welcome back to Bloomers in the Garden. I'm Len. He's Julio. There's Aaron.
There he is.
You can't see Sam because he's behind the glass. But hey, what's going on? Mushrooms are popping up in your lawn. It's like Tinkerbell came and planted them all throughout your lawn. It's nothing to be afraid of. Don't fear, not the shears, nope. The mushrooms. Hey, they're thriving on organic matter and moisture that's tied up into your lawn. It's something that occurs when we have as rainy and cool a season as we've had.
Quite a bit.
The lawns really haven't had a chance to dry up. They usually are feeding off of like decaying thatch or any organic matter that's stuck in the soil. When the summertime hits or we start getting the ability for the soil to dry out a little bit, that those mushrooms will disappear on their own. You know, to really, again, they're not something that's not a, and don't think that, oh, I'm going to put weed and feed on them.
Yeah.
Mushrooms let you know that those of you that love mushrooms, it's a fungi. Yeah. It's not necessarily, it's a fungi like Julio.
Yeah. Right.
And that when you cut your grass, you may just knock them off. But there is something, if you have a area of mushrooms like in one spot, and then there's this yellow ring that goes around them, that's actually a lawn disease that's called fairy ring. And you're going to need to apply a systemic disease control. Look, we have had so much moist weather and wet weather, and it's been cool. And like the disease spores are just like...
They're loving it, huh?
we're gonna wipe this lawn out.
Yeah, that's right.
And it's because that's what happens. If we continue with this high humidity environment as the weather warms up, there's going to be brown patch. There's going to be all types of disease that are running through your lawn. I always think it's a great... The four-step program. Here's another reason. Right. I don't like the four-step program because it doesn't address disease control. In the Northeast, we have it's just ripe for disease in lawns, and that putting a preventative maintenance application of systemic, now understand that systemic, right, goes through the system of the grass plant, works from the inside out, and makes it resistant to the disease. Putting a preventative application of disease control now is a great idea, because then you're going to prevent these diseases rather than trying to play catch up. Look, if you see signs of disease in your lawn, it may be too late. You know, you're just battling, and that those areas where that disease grabbed hold, you know, they may not grow back together. They may just be dead open soil. And anytime your lawn is under stress, it's like a beacon to say, come eat me. Yeah. Come, where are the bugs?
Yeah.
I can't fend you off. And all of a sudden you get all types of other types of things. So the best defense against weeds, for instance, and insects and disease is a healthy lawn. So doing that preventative application of a disease control is what you want to do. And again, systemic, it will last longer. You don't want something that's like a contact control, because contact is there and then it's gone. So those of you with a lawn service, that if you talk to them, they just don't let them talk down to you, okay? They may say, oh, yeah, we put disease control down. Yeah. And what they're doing is they're putting down a disease control that is a contact, and it really doesn't last very long. I suggest, you know, discussing them what type they use. Mm-hmm. And if it is a systemic type, you're good. If not, go to your local garden center and buy the systemic disease control there and put it down yourself, okay? There's a couple of ways you can do it. If you're watching on YouTube, and please, I encourage you to subscribe. We're a fun bunch of fellows, and we'll let you know every time we have a new issue of the Bloomers in the Garden show, and that you can watch it. So, a liquid, we like Bonide Infuse. Infuse is the name. Get it? Infuse. It infuses the plant as a systemic disease control. There's also a granular version of Infuse as well. So if you want to put it down, and that this is a disease control that has a wide label, like you don't, it's not just for lawns. The granular would be basically just for lawns, but you could use it on perennials and annuals and shrubs and all different controls, all different landscape, garden diseases. Okay. I'm not a big fan of putting anything systemic in the garden. Mm-hmm. You know, look, if you're going to eat it and it's systemic, you know, you may be eating it, a little bit of disease control.
Yeah.
So, you know, but, as far as that goes, I would use a contact in the garden, but if it's a flower garden, by all means, roses. Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. That's it.
Absolutely. So again, putting a preventative application of disease control
now
is going to go a long way to helping you fight off any, because face it, we're going to get 90 degrees and it's going to be hot and it's going to be dry. And then your people are going to put their water on their lawn.
Oh, gosh.
And that's a segment coming up. Yeah. We're going to talk about watering with your sprinkler system and how it encourages disease. Mm-hmm. Ugh, drives me crazy, Leo. I put on 10 minutes of zone.
Yeah, that's it. Every
great.
Other day.
Yeah. Usually a 10-minute rain does a great job of watering everything. No, it doesn't. But we'll talk about that later. I don't want to
jump the gun.
Yeah, I'm going to get down off my soapbox about disease control for the moment. And mushrooms. Don't fear the mushrooms, okay? Don't fear the mushrooms. It's nothing to worry about. It's just part of the season. It's not something that is hurting anything.
Anybody.
It's not hurting your grass. Yeah. It's not competing. It's not doing anything. It's just actually, in a way, it's helping the grass because it's breaking down all that organic matter.
Organic matter, yeah. It's good stuff.
Yep. So, and I'm not even going to ask you that. Actually, you know, my son-in-law, Steve, has mushrooms growing.
Oh, he does? Oh,
yes, he does. Yeah. He has growing baby and growing mushrooms.
He was a little
concerned about the mushrooms. I said, you just worry about the new baby. The mushrooms are fine.
The mushrooms are okay.
Anyway. All right, if you do have any questions, you know what to do. You call the hotline, 609-685-1880. Call us, leave us your question, let us know what station you listen to. Also, let us know what town you live in. And then we'll get back to you with the answer. And if you're on the show next week, you get a free T-shirt.
Right here.
There you go. Julio's got our purple one on. That's the one that you'll get. It's a beautiful thing.
It is.
All right. We'll be right back right after these messages. Hi, this is Len Schroeder from Bloomers in the Garden. Do you have a landscape, garden, or plant question? If so, call or text us using the Bloomers in the Garden hotline. Dial 609-685-1880. That's 609-685-1880. Don't be shy. We want to hear from you. Call or text us and let us know what problems you're facing. Let us know how we're doing. Call or text 609-685-1880. If we use your comment on the air, we'll send you a free Bloomers T-shirt. Call or text us at 609-685-1880. That's 609-685-1880. And we'll see you in the garden. Wanting to up your game in the vegetable garden? With 90 years of organic gardening experience, the Espoma Company has you covered. Espoma Organic Garden Tone is not your average garden variety fertilizer. Garden Tone is especially blended for organic vegetable gardens. Its all-natural formula contains Biotone, a blend of organic ingredients that supplies essential nutrients for strong, healthy plants and mouth-watering vegetables. Its slow-release formula provides continuous feeding. The Biotone contained in Garden Tone is a combination of organic ingredients and beneficial microbes to help roots grow deeper and faster for bigger, more bountiful harvest. Garden Tone is simple to use and safe for people, pets, and the planet. No harmful chemicals or synthetic fertilizers are ever added. You can find Garden Tone at fine garden centers. Visit Espoma.com to find a retailer near you. Garden Tone from Espoma, a natural in the garden since 1929.
Last year, millions of Americans asked the internet about protecting their lawns and gardens. There's one simple answer: BioAdvanced. Because gardeners have trusted the blue bottle for decades. Invasive insects? Blue bottle. Lawn fungus? Blue bottle. Japanese beetles? Blue bottle. A BioAdvanced answer for every question and guaranteed solutions for every problem. BioAdvanced. Get more from the blue bottle. BioAdvanced All-in-One Rose and Flower Care controls insects and diseases, plus feeds.
Welcome back to Bloomers in the Garden. We all know what a honey-do list is, and it usually isn't good, huh?
Oh, God.
Yeah. Aaron!
Oh, Aaron. Yeah,
sounding like my mom, like, come on, no.
Neither is honey-do, D-E-W, on your plants.
That's right. This is the segment each year where I love, because I get to make Julio say the other word for feces.
Right, feces.
What is that, Julio?
Poop.
There you go. You never thought you'd hear that this morning.
Yeah, that's right.
Anyway, I had my son, Carl, come to me. He goes, my apple tree is just covered with ants. going up and down, and it's like all black and sooty. And he said, I think I've got something else on the tree. And he knew what it was. Mm-hmm. All that black soot that you're, if you have ants crawling all over your plants, okay, and that they're climbing up the stems and that they are eating the excrement from another insect. Ants generally are not going to eat the plant themselves. Mm-hmm. But what happens is that the insects, like here's a short list. We got aphids. That's what Carl had. Carl had aphids on his tree, right. And the aphids are eating the tree. They're pooping stuff all over it, and it's making the leaves black. They're making the stems everything. Black, and the ants are just going up, and they're just feeding on that, bringing it back to the nest. So aphids are one. Adelgid. We don't hear much about adelgid anymore. Yeah. Woolly adelgid is used to kill all of the hemlocks.
Oh, wow.
Like there were a lot of hemlocks where hemlocks were a staple plant, but there's a host specific woolly adelgid that was eating and killing all the hemlocks. And that probably 20 years ago, they used to be these beautiful, perfect, sheared hemlock hedges, and they all were dying. Like some of the estates that are in like Long Island and Connecticut and those types of areas like Delaware and Philadelphia and the Main Line, all of these hedges were dying out, and they finally figured out that it's the woolly adelgid that they were having a tough time controlling. Hmm. Now, unfortunately, New Jersey, they took away our imidacloprid, right. But that was the control that worked to kill the woolly adelgid. Now it has to be a contact spray, and there's probably a couple others, but that you know we got to go back to sprays that were being used in the 70s.
Wow. How does that work?
I don't know. Anyway, that's the EPA's deal. Yeah. Any case, that woolly adelgid also will create honeydew as it's feeding on plants. Like sometimes you'll notice that say you have like a rhododendron and that the leaves are a little bit shiny, mm-hmm. and that they don't generally get this shiny, almost like there's a coating on them. That coating is also honeydew. Other types of leafhoppers.
Wow.
Whitefly, mealybugs, absolutely. Mm. Most of these are all soft scale insects too. Spider mites. Spider mites are another one. Mm. And again, it's honeydew. You know what the offender is the lanternfly.
Lanternfly.
Wow. Lanternfly. They like to... All over. From China. That's where it came from. I think we're getting a good handle on the lanternfly.
Yeah, you don't hear it.
But in the original data, they showed how the honeydew coated patio furniture and things like that. It was just, you know, they came. And those of you that remember how where the spotted lanternfly would come in mass. It was like the locust are coming like from, you know, one of the, you know, Charlton Heston movies. And it was like, you know, the plague. I mean, it's the end of the world when they came in. But they would poop so much that it would coat and turn people's patio furniture and patios black.
Yeah.
And that the only way to control it is you got to control that insect that is causing it. And so again, spider mites, even though they're very small and you can barely see them to the naked eye, they're in mass and that they're just
doing what they have to do.
They're eating and there's no porta potty. So again, so you've got to kill these insects. Yeah. And you have to remember the cycle of an insect where, okay, you have the adults that are doing the damage. Okay. But then you have nymphs that are like, you know, the teenagers, just obnoxious, okay?
Yeah.
And then you have, you know, the ones that are still eggs that haven't hatched yet.
Come in yet.
You've got to control all three generations. Mm-hmm. And there are ways. We have on, again, please subscribe on our YouTube channel. Subscribe to any of our podcasts, please. We have all seasons horticultural oil. Everybody thinks of an insecticide. Is insecticide going to poison the insect?
Yeah.
No? What does it do? I'm not talking about this one. I'm talking about when you think about an insecticide, you think about a poison.
Not necessarily.
You see, you know too much. All right. Aaron, do you think about, like, all right, if I have to put down something to kill a bug, it's going to be poison.
Yeah, but poisonous to who?
Well, the bug, for sure.
Well, I mean, right.
Right.
But anything else, like pets and people on the planet, I'm not trying to plug anything, but, you know.
Espoma.
Thank you, Espoma. We love you, guys.
Best products for people and pets on the planet. But my point I'm trying to make is that the horticultural oil does not poison the insect, but what it does, it puts a light coating of organic, okay, oil onto the insect and smothers it. So again, it's not like us where we breathe through our mouth and, you know, have lungs and that, you know, most of the insects they breathe from the sides of their bodies. And that when you spray the horticultural oil, that you're coating them, but you're coating both the adults, you're coating the nymphs, teenagers. And then you're also coating the eggs. So you're getting a good 3-stage control. I always want people to do at least 2 applications about 7 to 10 days apart in case it doesn't get everything. And all of a sudden, like, there was some hidden on the backside of the leaf or there was something else there. So you want to do, whether you're using a horticultural oil or like we have over by Julio, a systemic right insecticide. Here. That makes the plant poisonous to the insect. So every time they take a bite,
boom,
surprise, mm-hmm. And that where it takes care of them. But again, you have to reapply it. You can't just do one and done. Mm-hmm. It's not a magical thing. You've got to kill all of those generations. So again, it may take time for the systemic to work, where the horticultural oil is going to work right away. Mm-hmm. Systemics, there's a delayed action because it has to take it up and soak it in, take it up from the roots. It's got to work through the system. Like, you know how it works. Like when you take an antibiotic, you got to take five pills in the beginning and then you go one each day and then you've got 5 days to take it. Mm-hmm. Same kind of thing, but actually elongated, where you've got to do, again, 7 to 10 days apart, at least 3 applications. And I would keep, especially if it's prone to this, where this has happened, it happens every year, apply it for the whole season. Because again, those insects may be in the ground yet and they're climbing their way up. There are also insects, I mentioned rhododendrons just before and it made me think, like, using a systemic insecticide, this is perfect for this. That, have you ever had a rhododendron? Anyone? That where the notches, there's like notches taken out of the rhododendron leaf. See an insect? You never see it? I've had that. Have you ever had that, Julio? Have you seen customers come in, bring it, like there's all notches? Mm-hmm. But they never see an insect.
Never seen it.
You know, they think that it's like a rabbit coming, jumping on their plant.
I actually thought it was caterpillars on ours.
In North Jersey.
But
they're
like holes.
Notches, let me finish. The point is that the notches that you see, but you never see an insect.
Right.
That it is a Taxus weevil, and Taxus weevil feed at night. So when you're sleeping upstairs, you know that munching sound that you might hear in your sleep, not just because you're hungry, it's actually the Taxus weevil eating your rhododendrons. And then you come in the morning and they're gone. You know?
Thief in the night.
So you have to go and use a systemic to get full control. And I know what you're... Can I combine using an all-season oil and a systemic? Absolutely. And I highly recommend it. Look, insects, trying to keep a base where, you know, you're being warm and fuzzy about your, you know, your plant, your planet, where you don't want to spray too much. I get that, but it does no good if you're always battling bringing your plants to the brink, then bringing them back by spraying. And then bringing them to the brink again. And then bringing them back by spraying.
Constant battle.
It's all about doing preventative maintenance, like we talked about disease control. A systemic is an excellent preventative maintenance. New Jersey no longer has imidacloprid, so a lot of the drenches you may not find. Pennsylvania, New York, I believe. No, maybe New York got theirs taken away too. Maryland, I think too. Yeah. But Pennsylvania still has a systemic drench. They're trying to change that. That was a beautiful thing for all horticulturists and certain farmers because it was something that they could just apply to the root system, not having to spray everything.
The whole thing, yeah.
But some dummies were spraying. I have a picture where it shows a tree company moron using imidacloprid in a giant sprayer that looks like it's a fire hose, spraying a tree, and on the other side of the tree is a honeybee nest, a hive for a honeybee, and it kills the bees. It kills the bees. If you use it the correct way, it's a drench. It goes on the soil, and the roots are take it up and make it poisonous to the insect. We've got into this too much, but they took it away because of people using it incorrectly. So read your labels.
Absolutely. There is no substitute for that. No. There is no substitute for reading the labels for yourselves. And Bionide does a great job.
They do.
And if you could look on the back of your bottles, they usually have links to their websites where you can even watch videos if you don't want to read the labels.
That's right.
And you know,
some of the labels are like books.
Yeah, absolutely. You know? They fold out.
And that going to your local garden center, they will, like, I know what I've done with customers, and that your local garden center will do the same thing.
Yeah.
You say, I'm going to spray rhododendron, say. They look on the back and they'll put on there how much you mix with your sprayer. You need, 1 ounce per gallon, and that's what you do. And I write it on with a Sharpie on the bottle so they don't have to go through and say, well, I don't know. What if I have, woolly adelgid? What if I have, it basically covers pretty much everything. Go to your local garden center. Do preventative maintenance for your plants. You don't wait till your car engine has, burned up to change the oil. You want your plants to be taken care of and maintained because a healthy plant is the best defense against insect, disease, and other maladies.
Beautiful.
Got it?
Beautiful thing.
Get out there. Get your systemic insect controls and systemic disease controls and get on that lawn and garden. Right. We'll be back in the garden right after this. Hi, this is Len Schroeder from Bloomers in the Garden. Do you have a landscape, garden, or plant question? If so, call or text us using the Bloomers in the Garden hotline. Dial 609-685-1880. That's 609-685-1880. Don't be shy. We want to hear from you. Call or text us and let us know what problems you're facing. Let us know how we're doing. Call or text 609-685-1880. If we use your comment on the air, we'll send you a free Bloomers t-shirt. Call or text us at 609-685-1880. That's 609-685-1880. And we'll see you in the garden.
Hey, welcome back to Bloomers in the Garden.
Yes.
Holy hydrangea, Batman.
Hydrangeas are on our mind.
Yes,
this is going to be a 101 and 102 of hydrangeas. You know, there are four types of hydrangeas.
Yes, sir.
Last week we talked about turning your mop heads from pink to blue to pink. Yeah. But most people want blue.
Yeah.
Anyway, so mop heads are the ones that you see the most. Endless summer, large flowers. Usually, some people call them snowball bush. That's a mistake. That's another show.
Yeah, there's another.
Anyway, but the mop hydrangeas are the ones that are in the endless summer, and that there are tons of varieties of those types. So we're not going to spend much time there. And they're the ones that generally are the deep, dark blue that everybody wants, and that they also come in pink, and they also call them red, but it's more like a really dark, 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 dark pink. Beautiful plants.
Yeah.
Beautiful plants. Start blooming right around this time. Interesting because it blooms now. But there's another variety of hydrangeas that you will know. They are not mop type or macrophylla type. They are panicle hydrangeas. Hydrangea, panicle hydrangeas, they're known for, they have like a cone-shaped flower, okay? Just bear with me here. It's still big, large flower, looks kind of like a mop head flower, but they are elongated. So it's more of a triangular shape than a round shape.
And they typically are white or shades of white. Mm-hmm. And then as they begin to fade, that they may get pink and even some get red. There's a new variety, big heavy on the strawberry, like strawberry. There's like 10 different varieties with the name strawberry, strawberry cone, strawberry shape, strawberry shake, you know, yeah. You know, strawberry. Pinky Winky. I just like saying it. Pinky Winky is a great poinsettia with a poinsettia. Wow. Did you hear that?
Yeah, I heard that.
I must be thinking about Christmas.
Yeah, you are.
Anyway, Pinky Winky is a panicle hydrangea that is one of those that the whole flower gets pink. Some of them get blush when they're white on the base, and the tip gets to be a little more pink as it begins to fade. Here you go. You're going to say, oh, I know that one. Here is a type of panicle hydrangea, limelight. Limelights have seemed to take over the world.
They have.
Now, the one thing about these hydrangeas is that they flower after the mop type does. Blue and the pinks that we talked about in our at the opening. That these will bloom a little bit later on, and that they'll flower through into the summer and into the fall. Mm-hmm. And it's all about how they open up. Like they'll be a little bit green when they first open, then they'll go to white, and then they'll go to that pinkish color. And some, depending on the variety, will go like almost to a deep red, kind of like how a leaf goes to red in the fall when it changes from green to red. That those varieties are usually 4 feet tall plus. They probably can get to the original limelight I've seen as big as 6 to 8 foot tall.
Yeah,
they're big.
Yeah.
They're big. But then there's limelight prime, mm-hmm. and there's limelight, like they have variations now where they're a little bit shorter. So those panicle hydrangeas, you can get all different sizes. But keep in mind that they're going to be the ones that flower summertime later.
Yeah.
Okay. They're also reblooming varieties and such like that, but we're not going to get into it because that's another show. Hydrangea quercifolia. Do you know what that is, Julio?
It's an oak leaf hydrangea.
Oak leaf hydrangea.
Beautiful.
They are beautiful.
Yeah, they're gorgeous.
They have their leaves are not like big round like skunk cabbage looking leaves. That's what it looks like.
Yeah.
On the regular hydrangeas, where it has indentations to make it look similar to an oak leaf. Mm. And it has real heavy veining. And it looks definitely different, but it's a great...
Oh, it's a beautiful plant.
Beautiful. Because the flowers are a little bit different.
Mm-hmm.
It thrives in much drier locations. Like, for instance, if you have a spot where hydrangeas like it really... They prefer moist shade to... part shade, part sun, you know, into shade. And that where if you have shade and that you have a dry location, that again, the oak leaf hydrangea would do well. Or even if it's in full sun in a drier location, it's okay if you get it established. Mm. It'll take it. Mop heads, again, that's the blue that we talked about, round ones, they struggle in sandy soil. But the oak leaf hydrangeas, they can thrive in that. And with... really little to no care.
Nothing. Touch them.
Flower is, again, elongated. Similar to a panicle, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, well, same thing, yeah.
My favorite variety is pink slippers.
Pink slippers, yeah, very nice.
Now, do you know any others that we've got in that have taken over that? Pink slippers.
Isn't it one?
And again, there are other varieties that are out there, but if you find a pink slippers, you're going to be very happy. Now, this is probably the least known of the hydrangeas.
Yeah.
Smooth hydrangeas.
Now, what is that? Because the other ones have kind of taken over, haven't
well,
they?
Well, you know why? Because hydrangeas, everybody thinks hydrangea, it's a hydrangea. They're all the same. This one just looks a little different.
Mm.
But where smooth hydrangeas, that you'll know because the variety of a smooth hydrangeas, like Invincible Spirit, I've heard of that one.
Yeah.
And that they have gigantic flowers and that they're going to flower a little bit later. I have a hedge of these.
You have,
That I've actually, they've been let to go wild.
Oh, yeah.
They were supposed to block the pool filter, and now that the pool has no liner, hey, you get to almost 60, you start wondering, it's like, do I really want a pool?
Yeah.
Do I replace it?
Well,
I don't think the kids have left. I don't know. The kids didn't go in it from the time they were 17, and now they're in their 30s.
Yeah, they don't want to come.
But then again, Jake may
Jake
end
well,
up.
Yeah, Jake might be coming in, right?
That's another show.
Yeah.
But again, smooth hydrangeas, I have them, and they're probably about 8 feet tall.
Wow.
And full of flowers. Julio, my daughter's wedding. Remember?
Yeah, we picked those
smooth hydrangeas and used them at the wedding. Mm-hmm. That they are usually a white, but they also will fade to different colors. It's like a creamy white, not like pure, like innocent white, if you will. Comes out in a light green color, and as it matures, it gets to that color. But there are different varieties now that have pink blooms, like Invincible Spirit has pink blooms. Incredible. We just got in at Bloomers a great selection of hydrangeas, and some of them are the smooth type of hydrangeas. The flowers on, like, for instance, Invincible Spirit they're big. Think of like a volleyball. Big.
Like this.
Big. Really big.
Wow.
And that, again, it's round, similar to like a mop head, but they don't look the same. You can tell the difference. They also bloom on their new wood. Mm-hmm. You can prune them back in late winter almost to the ground, and that they'll flush out, grow, and that's what I really need to do to I'm a little late next year. Yeah. When I try to find the filter, if I decide to redo the pool. Yeah. Anyway, prune them right down to the ground, and that gives you a chance to remove any, like, you know, dead branches and such.
That's good.
But again, it is a great plant. So if you're looking for an interesting hydrangea that can take a tissue.
Yes, really.
Okay. Hydrangea, arborescence, smooth hydrangea. Don't fear the shear. But the thing is, you got to prune the right time. I'm just going to make it real simple. When they're done blooming, go ahead. Okay. Whack them.
There you go.
When they're done blooming, on out, whack them.
Whack them.
And that best way, because like the new varieties will bloom on new wood. So that means new growth. And that you're best to just do it then. We get so many questions about your hydrangeas. There are technical times where, again, it's late winter pruning on some of the not mop heads, but you're going to do that on your panicle type hydrangeas, like the limelight varieties. And it also, you can do that on the smooth varieties. But always a rule of thumb is prune them back after they're done blooming. And I like actually pruning, late winter pruning on my hydrangeas rather than pruning them back in the fall.
Fall, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Anything to add, Hull?
No, good. This is a good 101, 102.
Yeah, there you
right
go.
Here.
There you go.
Yeah.
Read the tags.
Yes.
Read the tags. You'll see where again, it's going to be macrophylla. Oh, that's the type that are blue and pink and everything. And then you're going to see the other varieties, the panicle type, that they're going to be, you know, more of that triangular shape. And then there's a smooth variety, which is arborescence.
Yeah.
I need to know a lot of botanical names, but again, think of it as like their first part, hydrangea, is like their last name, and then the second part is their first name, the distinction between the others. My name is Leonard, my brother's name is Carl, and we are completely different, but we both have the last name of Schroeder.
There you go.
So again, if we were a hydrangea, you know, Carl would be the mop head. Carl would be hydrangea microphylla, and I would be hydrangea, the smooth hydrangea. We'll be back in the garden right after this. Hi, this is Len Schroeder from Bloomers in the Garden. Do you have a landscape, garden, or plant question? If so, call or text us using the Bloomers in the Garden hotline. Dial 609-685-1880. That's 609-685-1880. Don't be shy. We want to hear from you. Call or text us and let us know what problems you're facing. Let us know how we're doing. Call or text 609-685-1880. If we use your comment on the air, we'll send you a free Bloomers t-shirt. Call or text us at 609-685-1880. That's 609-685-1880. And we'll see you in the garden.
Looking to get rid of those broadleaf weeds? Fertilome's weed-free zone is a broadleaf post-emergent weed killer that kills 80 of the toughest broadleaf weeds in lawns and other areas in your yard. Fertilome's weed-free zone is a fast-acting product. It's a cool weather performer in the 45 to 90 degree range. Fertilome's weed-free zone is excellent for those tough weeds, including poison ivy, henbit, Virginia buttonweed, wild violet, thistle, dandelion, chickweed, spurge, and ground ivy. Fertilome's weed-free zone is the go-to tough weed killer in the Fertilome product line. A proven cool weather performer you must have.
So,
the next time you visit your local independent garden center, ask for Fertilome's weed-free zone and expect to have the best lawn and landscape in the neighborhood.
Bloomers in the Garden is brought to you each week by Bloomers Home and Garden Center. Bloomers is an award-winning garden center just 20 minutes from Philadelphia. Bloomers has been providing expert advice turning brown thumbs green for over 30 years. At Bloomers, we want you to ask us every question, even if you think it's silly. We share information in a friendly, non-judgmental way that is meant to teach and spread the joy of gardening. Visit Bloomers Home and Garden Center in Washington Township, Gloucester County. For directions, go to bloomers.com, and we'll see you in the garden.
Hey, we're back in the garden.
Yes, we are.
Julio, do we need to keep an eye out for wilting plants?
Oh, gosh.
Yes, we do.
Yes, we do, yeah.
All right, so I'm out and about. I think you've heard my deck story. Installed a deck. Mm-hmm. And it's 88 degrees outside.
Yeah.
Lots of moisture in the soil. Mm-hmm. And I'm looking around. They're wilting. What the heck is going on?
Flagging.
Flagging is a... you want to look really not flag football. Okay.
Watch out, Julio.
Flagging. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Watch out, Julio.
When they wilt. Okay. That's called flagging. Everybody is, if you've had an impatient ever in your life, you've seen it flag. But so what happened was you've got to get your plants adapted. They've been cool 60s, rain. Yeah. Hey, this is the best growing environment ever.
Oh, you say enjoy.
It's
it.
Like we're in Oregon.
Yeah.
But what's going to happen is we're going to get to the summer and that 88 degrees we hit the other day, the plants were just hot.
Yeah.
They weren't thirsty. Yeah. They weren't anything. There was a lot of new growth.
A lot of heat.
And so you'll see them wilt a little bit. Don't water them. Just leave them be. Mm-hmm. Let them get a little bit of that sun. Let them get a little bit of that heat. You know, it's always what? Index finger probe.
That's it. You got to
use it. Stick your finger in the soil and make sure that it's not dry. But I can tell you, I mean, we had rain the night before, and it just got really hot, and then it just is wilting. Most important thing, everybody listen up. You have a sprinkler system? Mm-hmm. Pay attention. If you say, oh, it's wilting, I've got to say right about now is when people start, and that the weather, the watering's been perfect, so we really hadn't put it on yet. Mm-hmm. If you get into the part where it's dry out and you're time to put your sprinkler system on, do not do what most lawn sprinkler installers say. Put it on 10 minutes of zone.
Oh, gosh.
Because that makes it sound good to you. It's like, wait, 10 minutes of zone? I'm all done. Yeah, you know, 10 minutes here, 10 minutes there.
Conserve.
All right. Yeah. A 10-minute rain, okay, is a sun shower, which doesn't do anything. Mm-hmm. It doesn't water anything. Water more at one time. And less often. I'd rather see you do it 45 minutes a zone and have it done once a week than have it do 10 minutes a zone every other day. What you're doing is you're training your plants, especially your lawns, to grow in like the top 6 inches of soil. You want those roots past that layer because that's the drought layer. All of a sudden we have a drought and your lawn starts dying because it's used to getting its water in just a couple top inches, and that's where the roots grow. Mm-hmm. But now that we have a drought situation, it's drying out. The same thing happens with your shrubs and all of your landscape plants if you're watering that way. You need to water deeper into the soil. Have it perk deeper. Think of it as like that water takes a suction cup and just goes and pulls those roots deeper into the soil. And guess what? When they're deeper in the soil, it's a little moist down there. It's not drying out. They're not dying. If you have a new landscape, I would forget the sprinkler system altogether and water by hand. You know, you need soaker hose, right, Julio?
Soaker hose, yeah.
10 minutes.
10 minutes on. Well, leave it for half a day. I mean, you need the ground wet for new plantings so that it does perk into the soil and it keeps that soil below the root ball moist so that those plants search for that moisture down below. You don't want to train your plants to grow in the first 6 inches of soil. Forget it.
They'll die.
Forget it. Not only that, I mean, you think about insects for your lawn. Yeah, that's right where diseases, they stay.
Yeah. Ugh, everything goodness. Comes in.
So make sure, water it more time and less often. And if your plants are wilty right now, it's probably they just are a little bit hot. Not that they need any more moisture. Just check the soil and be sure. But water them when they go dry. Not the plants, but the soil. All right? Got anything to add, Julio?
No, the probe is the best way to check.
Index finger probe.
Yep.
Stick that finger in the soil. If it's moist 2 inches down, you leave it go.
That's it.
Because, again, that soil underneath there will only be moister than that. If not, it's time to water. And water a lot. You are the rainmaker.
Yes.
So you have to make it like so that it's raining, not so that it's a sprinkler guy's idea of 10 minutes a zone.
Yeah.
You have to make it rain.
Mm-hmm. Make it rain.
We'll be right back, right after this.
Spring is here, and people have a lot of questions about Weed and Feed. There's one simple answer. Bioadvanced 5-in-1 Weed and Feed. Just one application kills lawn weeds and prevents new weeds and crabgrass up to 6 months. And if crabgrass is already growing, it kills that too. Plus, 5-in-1 feeds and greens your lawn. Bioadvanced 5-in-1 Weed and Feed. Get more from the blue bag.
Here's the dirt on potting mixes. They're not all created equal. Espoma Organic Potting Mix gives roots the ideal balance of air and moisture. It contains a special blend of beneficial mycorrhiza to help grow stronger roots, bigger plants, and more bountiful blooms. Try Espoma Organic Potting Mix indoors and out for all your potted flowers, vegetables, and you'll see why it's the best. Visit Espoma.com for a retailer near you. Organic Potting Mix from Espoma, a natural in the garden since 1929.
Bloomers in the Garden is brought to you each week by Bloomers Home and Garden Center. Bloomers is an award-winning garden center just 20 minutes from Philadelphia. Bloomers has been providing expert advice turning brown thumbs green for over 30 years. At Bloomers, we want you to ask us every question, even if you think it's silly. We share information in a friendly, non-judgmental way that is meant to teach and spread the joy of gardening. Visit Bloomers Home and Garden Center in Washington Township, Gloucester County. For directions, go to bloomers.com, and we'll see you in the garden.
Welcome back to Bloomers in the Garden.
Whoa.
Hey.
I let you know we were coming back.
Yeah, but nobody had headphones on.
Put it this way. I thought I heard it in the background.
Yeah.
Are we not in the background?
We're back.
We're back.
We're live. Here we are.
Hey, yeah, welcome back.
We are having a conversation about how the rain has been so perfect.
Yeah, absolutely. Really. Yeah. Right? I haven't watered my pansies at all since I put them in March.
There you go.
Anyway, but get ready. Here comes the sun.
Absolutely. Cue up the Beatles.
Well, this segment is all about my bioluminescent, let me say that over. Say it three times fast. Bioluminescent petunias that just came in.
Wow.
I was talking to my growers trying to get them to do a trial of them, and they basically didn't want me to, they didn't call back because they were like, we don't want this thing. So what is a bioluminescent petunia? It's right, if you go on YouTube, please subscribe, take a look. Right there is a bioluminescent petunia. It glows in the dark. They came in yesterday, and last night I brought them up to my house. I have about 15 of them, and that their DNA has been crossed with a luminescent, that means glowing, mushroom, and that the buds and the stems of this petunia glow in the dark. Now, I have a pretty healthy dose of skepticism with pretty much everything. I didn't think it was going to work. So last night, I had them on my deck, no lights out. Everything was dark. It was pitch black. And I said, all right, let's see if this thing is real. I walked out, and I'm looking. You walk from inside to outside, and your eye just have to adjust. I didn't say I was pitch black. It's like, oh, forget it. It's waste of money. Each plant's $40, by the way. All of a sudden, my eyes adjusted, and they were on a shelf. And I tapped the shelf, and I moved the shelf a little bit. And the vibration of the petunias, all of a sudden, the damn things are glowing in the dark. It was like, and they're called firefly, and that the actual buds look like little fireflies. And you have to, your eyes have to adjust. I went and made a video and called and sent it in to Aaron and to everybody at Bloomers, to Sandy, to Carl, to Julio, and just all kinds of excited. But unfortunately, the phone doesn't pick up. It doesn't know where to focus because it's very subtle. And that these are baby plants, basically. But the darn thing worked. They actually glow in the dark. Oh, it's incredible. So, again, they inserted the DNA from the mushrooms into the petunia. And this is a USDA. It's, let's see, Light Bio. They're the company that is actually selling them. And it is... Right now, I can only get mine by contacting the company and getting those. I was hoping to see if they'll get any support from growers, but at that price, I don't think so. Biotech companies such as NFX and Ginkgo Bioworks are the companies that are actually selling them. It's going to become a new category of plants. I mean, it's so cool. I mean, I'm so excited, and that you can hear my voice on the thing. You see, it really, it's unbelievable, the things. Look. And unfortunately, you couldn't focus in on exactly everything, but there were like little points of light that were all over the plants, and those were the buds, the white buds. The petunia itself is white. It was amazing. It is the most unique. I mean, when there's different colors of plants and stuff, I get all excited because I'm basically a plant geek, but it is absolutely amazing that this is happening. I mean, think about what they could do with houseplants. If they could get low-level light houseplants to actually become, now all of a sudden, like there's a soft glow coming from, forget like glow-in-the-dark night lights and posters and, you know, and black lights. I know, Sam, I'm describing your bedroom. where these plants, like, they just will do that. They need to get the price down like else. And the way it's interesting, the way they ship is that they put them in like a plastic clamshell. And then we've got it again. Subscribe to us on YouTube. Subscribe to us on your podcast. That again, it comes into like a plastic clamshell. And then this is put into a box. And the packaging's pretty cool. And by the way, it is, as I'm reading, it's 100% recycled packaging. That it's just amazing. It's amazing because, again, my skepticism, it actually works. So I have glow-in-the-dark petunias. Yeah. Aaron, do you think your handheld camera would be able to pick that up better? Because if you can adjust
I can turn my exposure down, my ISO down. Yeah, absolutely. We can definitely make it work.
It's, wow. I mean, we were trying to find it needs to be dark.
Yeah.
Like if you have light that's coming from another light or from street light or something like that, you don't see it as well. But it's not like, I was trying to figure out like, you know, do you put it in more sun, just like those, you know, those posters in Sam's room that they get, that they get brighter. Like you put, you put the glow in the dark stuff and you put it in a lot of sun and then you bring it in the dark and it's real. It doesn't work that way. It's the energy that's coming from the plant that, like right now, it's glowing, but it's in full sun in the middle of the studio. So we just need to see it. And you have to let your eyes adjust to it.
Really?
Yeah. And Julio, you were supportive. You saw it.
Oh, yeah.
Aaron's the first one was like, it's all blurry.
Yeah.
Everybody likes a critic. Anyway, my son Carl said the same thing. He's like, I don't see anything.
But it's just the night balance. It's all. I mean, I did see a definitely like a good, you know, light green kind of like glow to it.
It looks like a firefly.
Right, it does. It does.
You know, and that's the name of it, firefly petunias.
And then the pictures online, like I saw actually when you told me they came yesterday, I actually looked up the company and they have like pictures where there's like fields of them. that they grow, and that it's just like an amazing thing to see, especially in your landscape. Especially we're great for you because you have a lot of, you know, ground coverage and trees and things like that could really
grow.
I'm
putting in my hanging baskets.
Oh, okay.
So
out on the deck or in the front?
Both.
Both, yeah.
I've got 15 of these plants. I've got a small investment. I'm invested now.
Yeah, they're going to grow.
$40 four-inch pot. And what's interesting is that they really aren't like...
Oh, wow.
Yeah, see that? If you're watching on YouTube, that's called a plug. It isn't even grown into the...
Right.
I wasn't real happy about that, but I can get them to grow.
So are you going to cut back on your lighting in the front and the back?
No, it doesn't work that way. It's a novelty, really, at this point. Yeah, but the fact is that where it goes from here, I'm excited.
You look great in your swan, man.
That's true.
Yeah.
As long as the lights are off.
Well, yeah.
Like, watch your step.
Yeah.
It's going to bring people outside in the evening.
It could if they plant enough of them.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
All right. We are running out of time, so we got to take a break. We'll be right back right after this. Hi, this is Len Schroeder from Bloomers in the Garden. Do you have a landscape, garden, or plant question? If so, call or text us using the Bloomers in the Garden hotline. Dial 609-685-1880. That's 609-685-1880. Don't be shy. We want to hear from you. Call or text us and let us know what problems you're facing. Let us know how we're doing. Call or text 609-685-1880. If we use your comment on the air, we'll send you a free Bloomers t-shirt. Call or text us at 609-685-1880. That's 609-685-1880. And we'll see you in the garden.
See me and Julio down by the school.
Okay, just to quick sum up those bioluminescent petunias, they definitely glow in the dark. They're not something like it's going to replace a nightlight. But it's got to be dark, but it does show up. If you have questions and want to know more, please call the hotline. That's 609-685-1880. We'll give you a call back and explain all about it and get you any contact information you may want. Thank you for listening. Please go to the YouTube channel. You'll see the plants and you'll see different things. And subscribe. It's important for our sponsors to see that people are subscribing and that, you know, for us to stay on, we need that. So we appreciate everybody that subscribes to podcasts and to the YouTube channel. Julio, anything to add?
I'm excited about this new plant. It's pretty awesome.
All right. I'll tell you what, I'll give you, both you and Aaron one.
Oh, wow.
To play with.
Okay.
All right. Don't kill it.
No, we won't.
All right. We'll see you in the garden.
See you in the garden.